is unusual to say the least, but it's beautiful. Very simply, it says, our heartfelt desire is for your name. Our heartfelt desire, Lord, is for your name. And I want you to think for a moment, what comes to mind as you think about what that might mean, desiring his name? Why would we desire, and what is it about his name specifically that we do desire? I realize that we have a tendency to probably first right off the bat think, well, there is authority in the name of Jesus. And the Father has said that heaven is open and salvation is available to us. And we can pray in the name. So we think of the name of Jesus as a key, if you will, that opens the door, a key of authority. But I believe there's much more that God intended. There's more in the name of Jesus. And praise God, with the Lord's help, I'm going to get to it this morning. Hallelujah. And so keep in mind Isaiah's statement, our heartfelt desire is for your name. Whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, I want it. Isaiah is saying, let's fix our desire on the name. There's something about Jesus' name that should become the primary focus of our desires. In the Old Testament, there are eight what we call compound covenant names of God. These were eight names that God revealed himself through as the eternal living God. Later, all those eight compound covenant names, each one represented a feature or a characteristic or a promise of God about who he was and what he would do for us. But those eight compound covenant names were all consolidated into that one name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But those eight compound covenant names of God, a number of you have heard them over the years. Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord, our provider. Jehovah Rapha, means the Lord is our healer. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our banner over our head. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord is our sanctification, cleansing and setting us apart to be acceptable to our Father. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, he is the ever-present God with us. And finally, number eight, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. Those names are what our desires ought to be. When we desire the name of Jesus, we are desiring those eight features, those eight qualities that are embedded in the name of Jesus. Now, why is that so important? Well, the first thing that I think of is that most of man's troubles stem from his desires. You show me a person's trouble, I'll show you what they want. And because usually what we want gets us into trouble somewhere along the line. If you could elevate your desire, you could elevate your life. That's true. So what would an honest and truly candid and honest list of our desires look like? If we were to take a read and everybody were to take truth serum and they had to be honest and candid, what would a list of your desires look like? Now, you have to think, I'm not in church, I don't need to impress anybody, I am just going to be honest. What would be on my list of desires? I'll ask two or three people, if somebody real quick has a thought. What would be on your list of desire? What do you think are on people's lists of desires? Anybody?
Peace and security.
Peace, security, long life. We've got some very Christian. Say that again.
My side of his closet.
See, I love that. That's kind of what we're talking about, isn't it? The first two, you know, they were given those nice, you know, esoteric religious responses. Anybody else? What would be on our list? Anya? Thank you. Money. I would have been the first thing I blurted out. Hallelujah. Mo money. So, yeah, our man's list of desires would look something like this. More money. More confidence. I wish I could be more confident. More affirmation. If more people liked me and would say good things about me. Honestly, they don't sound nice sometimes coming out, but they are on the inside. And more rest and more peace. How about that? Better health, anybody? I'd like better health. A better body. Well, like I said, these are not things you're going to throw your hand up and say, you know, but I'd like to, hair. That's on my list. More hair. More property, more things, specific things, but more property. I'd like to have more stuff. More power. People oftentimes, they struggle because they don't have enough power, enough influence, enough authority. I want more power, more authority, more sex. That was one of the first things on everybody's list. On my list, I know this is church, but I got a license that says I'm supposed to tell the truth, so. And like Chris said, more hair. You know, my face stopped falling down, you know, whatever it might be. These are the things that we desire in life, and they all spring from the flesh. They all spring from the flesh. Even the ones that are more esoteric and sound, you know, and they sound more noble, they basically spring from our flesh, you know. We want fulfillment and, you know, that sort of thing. And they spring from our flesh without any promise of actually bringing fulfillment into our lives if we actually got those things. Many people, they get those things and they're still looking for more things. It doesn't really satisfy. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is that God designed you and me. He designed mankind using himself as the template or as the model. We are modeled after God. In the first chapter of Genesis, the Bible clearly states God created us after his image, in his image and in his likeness. So God used himself as a template and he designed us to be like him. And so the reason why that's important is because man instinctually wants what God is. It is in our DNA. It is in the created design of mankind to want, to crave what God is in his nature. And I just shared with you 8 compound covenant names of God that talk about what God is, our shepherd and the banner over us and our peace. And the reason we instinctually want what God is because those are the materials out of which he made us. It's baked into our creation. When man fell into sin, the terrible result of that collision with sin was that we fell from those desires. We fell down into the flesh of our being because we are threefold beings. Really, the way God made you, you are a spirit. You have a mind or a soul with emotions. And you live in a house called your body. When we sinned, we became body dominant, flesh dominant. We had a mind, and our soul or our spirit went dark. And God said, when you sin, your spirit is going to be like an ember that is going to eventually fade till it goes dark, and dying you will die. And so there's a reason why we instinctually want what God is. It's because those are the materials that made us. Philippians 2:13 has for a long time been one of my favorite verses, and it says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Hold on to that promise, because God has promised that when you receive him in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he'll begin working in your life, influencing your desires. He will work in you so that you desire the things that please him. Praise the Lord. Now, focusing our desire on Jesus' name is how we do that. That's how God gives us the desire to work for Him, to do the things that are important to Him. Consolidating everything that you and I need in life. Now, we looked at our list. We want a nicer car, want some more money. We could use an expansion on our house. We'd like more some romance. Maybe, you know, get the abs back. I used to have awesome abs. I now have an ab. I'd love to have the abs back. You know, so those are our lists. And, you know, let's be honest about it. But the reality is that as we focus our desire on the name of Jesus, it elevates us to a higher set of desires. And He wants to give us those desires. He wants us to want them. And that's why all of those things are consolidated into the name of Jesus. We shouldn't just want the name of Jesus because it's the access key to getting prayers answered. The answer to all that we need is already embedded in the name of Jesus. So consolidating everything we need for our happiness into His name, God is speaking to us. He's saying to us, believe in My name, desiring all that it represents, and I will empower you to receive it. That's what that Philippians 2:13 says. It is God working in you to desire and to do His good will. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John writes, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You can have eternal life and not know it. I know a lot of you wake up in the morning, you've got eternal life. Jesus didn't jump out of you in the middle of the night. He lives in you, but you wake up not knowing that you have eternal life. You wake up knowing, I got a big day ahead of me. You wake up knowing, boy, I got, you know, a pain in my back. And, you know, immediately all those things that we want present themselves. They're there, badgering us. So the problem is that many Christians are not experiencing the eternal life that lives with them, that Jesus gave them through His name, because they don't know what is in His name. They don't know what God has made available. They don't know what the name of Jesus really means other than, you know, through His name I can pray. So this morning I'm trying to expand and open up your understanding so you know there are some powerful things in the name of Jesus that God wants you to have. You say, how do I know He wants me to have them? Because He put them in the name of Jesus and then offered Jesus to you. You say, well, how do I know He offered Jesus to me? Well, what more could He do? He said, I'm going for you and your sins to Calvary's cross to give you life, to give you forgiveness, and I'm going to take care of the whole enchilada. And He gave His life. So that's how we know God wants us to have Jesus. For God so loved the world, He gave Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. He gave the banner. He gave the peace. He gave the sanctification. That's all there for me to receive in the name of Jesus. This is something you need to understand. Jesus is God doing what He is. Jesus is more than God doing what He does. He's God doing what He is. When you read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are seeing who God is. Jesus is God being Himself, God doing who He is. So those eight compound covenant names of God are consolidated in the name of Jesus just so that you can know that He's offering you who He is. That's what Jesus is doing. If you're taking notes and you like Bible verses, here's one, 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all of the promises of God, everything that God has promised us down through the centuries, in His Word, these are covenant promises. It says, for all of the promises of God find their yes in Him. So when you love His name, when you say, Lord, I want Your name, I desire Your name, all the promises are in the name, and the Lord says yes. His answer to you is not no, it's yes. when you come in that name. So, all right, here's where this thing takes a practical turn so that when you leave here and go home, you can start doing this. You can do this message. It's great to know it. It's better if you do it. Here we go. Every time one of your worldly desires, one thing that's on that list, for example, or something that didn't make it to the list but you know should be there, every time one of your worldly desires starts dragging you off, stop right then. Repent, which means change your mind, and go to God in prayer. Refocus your desire on the corresponding promise that's embedded in the name of Jesus, and his answer to you will be yes. Instead of fighting these desires that are fighting you, instead of struggling with desires that struggle with you and seem to always win, God says, I give you a better way. Want my name, love my name, desire my name, and I will work in you. I will empower you as you express your desire for my name. I will empower you to receive what I have put in my name. Isn't that better than fighting with your own will all the time? I don't know about you, but I usually don't win against Nick. So you do this, obviously, by focusing your desires on those eight compound covenant names that are consolidated in the name of Jesus. For example, let's start with Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. When your desire and your need for things, whatever those things are, starts taking over your thoughts and disrupting your peace. Anybody ever experienced anything like that? You need things, you want things, it starts driving you, and that desire takes over your thoughts, starts wrecking your peace. Stop. Repent. Refocus your desires on Jesus, who is the Lord, your provider. And express your desire to him, praying, Lord, I don't want things controlling, blinding, enslaving me. I want what you give me through your name, because that way I know I'll stay free when I receive them and I won't become a slave to those things. Lord, I desire you, my provider. You know that Jesus said, I already know what you need before you ask. And he knows the desires of your heart. So when you desire him, you're desiring the one who gives you. And when he gives it to you, he doesn't add a curse. He blesses. Hallelujah. It says and Proverbs says, the blessing of the Lord makes wealthy, and he adds no sorrow to it. Amen. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is our healer. So when a broken body, broken mind, or a broken heart is pulling your life down, and your anxious desire for a doctor or a cure is filling you with fear and killing your joy, stop, repent, refocus your desire on Jesus, the Lord my healer. Express your desire to him, praying, saying, Lord, I don't want my desire to be enslaved by a depressing, frantic quest for some cure to derail my life. I want and I desire your name, because you bring me peace even before my healing arrives. I want you, Lord, my healer. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord, your healer. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. When your desires have led you into some cause or some purpose that is now beginning to darken your mind so that the heavens above you seem brass when you try to pray and God seems far away from you and the closeness you once had has been fading. And you know that the more I've been getting myself into this cause or this pursuit, whatever it is in, the more the Lord is seeming distant. My desires are pulling me in that direction. And it's not good. It's hurting me. Stop, repent, refocus your desire on Jesus, the Lord, your banner. The Lord, your banner. Express your desire to him, praying, Lord, I don't want to be a part of anything that separates me from you. I want your name to be my banner. I want to live under an open heaven. I want to get up in the morning and know that my access to my Heavenly Father is there. There's an open sky above me. There's no clouds obscuring my vision of you. I would rather have my access to you and have you as my banner than to plant myself under the banner of some cause that is just leading me off into darkness because you're not in it. Can you see how these changing the higher desire for lower desires brings transformation and the return of joy into your life? Lord, I desire you as my banner. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord, our sanctification, or the one who cleanses us. And, you know, if you have guests come to the house, your dishes are dirty, you don't put that food you've been preparing into dirty dishes that are full, all germy and unclean. You get good clean. You could have good vessels, but if they're not clean, you're not going to use them to serve with. So sanctification is not only cleansing, but it is setting aside for a good purpose. So you have vessels that you have cleansed and you've set them aside for the important purposes in your life. That's what Jehovah Makedesh, or the Lord is our sanctification. That's what Jesus is. He's the one who cleanses us, makes us appropriate, sets us aside for special occasions. But when your desires are dragging you into behaviors that are sinful and leave you unclean, what's the result? You're unusable. Your mind is broken and scattered. Your life is scattered. And you are filled with what? What is that caked on residue all over vessels that are not clean? It's called condemnation. It's called condemnation. And the Lord wants to soften the grip of condemnation over your life and to scrape it off of your mind, off of your soul, and to bring you back into cleanliness and bring you back into peace. But when you've let your desires drag you into unclean practices that are sinful, that is where you're left. Stop. Repent. Refocus your desire on Jesus, the Lord, your sanctifier. Lord, I can't sanctify myself. You don't have to raise your hand, but I bet there's not a person in this room that could not say with me that you know what it feels like to have gotten yourself into a position where you are unclean, unfit, and you can't clean yourself up. You can't get yourself right again. You want to, and something inside is crying out, but you can't seem to do it. No problem. Jesus sees that. He knew you were like that. He knew all of us were like that. He came to sanctify us because we couldn't sanctify ourselves. That's how he loves us. Hallelujah. And so stop, repent, refocus on Jesus, your sanctifier. Express your desire to him, praying, Lord, I don't want to be a slave to the things that separate me from your acceptance. Please forgive me. I choose as my highest desire the approval and acceptance that is in your name, that your name brings to me. I desire you, Lord, my sanctification. Isn't that awesome? That you could go to the Lord and say, Lord, I desire you, the one who sets me apart, and you will be set apart. You will be cleansed. Those old things will be wiped away. Moving on, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. When pursuing your desires has gotten you into strife, and the confidence that God is with you has vanished, you know, when you and I get tangled into fights and strifeful situations, we're so upset, we're so angry, we're so ticked off, or whatever it is, we're embroiled in that strife, we don't even recognize until later we simmer down that the presence of the Lord is gone. The first casualty of strife is that God's presence is gone. Because the Bible says a servant of the Lord should not strive. Now that doesn't mean that we don't enter into conflicts, but the battle is the Lord's, and those are the battles that God wants to lead us in. But when our desires have produce strife in our life. Stop, repent, refocus your desire on Jesus, who is the Lord, my peace. Lord, as I pray to you, I express myself to you that I need you more than I need to be right. And that's usually why we're in strife, is because, doggone it, I'm right. They're not going to get away with this time. I'm going to stand my ground. You know, it's always good to make a stand where the Lord plants you. And when he says, here's where you stand, stand. But if God hasn't planted you in that particular position, in that particular battle or that fight, and there you find yourself striving and insisting on being right, you need to stop. That desire's killing you, and it's destroying the presence of God in your life. So turn to him and pray, Lord, I desire your name, the Lord my peace, more than I need to be right. I could win this battle. I could win this conflict and still not have real peace. So right now, Lord, more than anything else, I desire your name and the peace that I have with you through your name. Lord, I desire you, my peace. Jehovah Sid Kanu, the Lord is our righteousness. When you start and craving desires for acceptance and affirmation from people, and that desire for acceptance, that desire for affirmation is pressuring you to gain approval from others in ways that puts you at odds with God, stop, repent, refocus your desire on Jesus, who is the Lord, your righteousness. Better that you stand under the light of his approval and his righteousness and say, Father, the more I desire the approval of people, the more unrighteous it makes me. Instead, I desire your name and that right standing with you that I love so much. Doesn't matter what people think. If it's going to cost you your right standing with the Lord. Jehovah Shammah. And then after that, there's one more. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is our ever-present God. Now, let me just say for a moment, I know that theologically God is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere. But his actual manifest presence, there's a difference. There's a difference. How many of you in your marriages have hit one of those spots where you're not talking? I know you're sitting there going, that's an awesome thing. But let me tell you, there's some couples, they've hit that spot for the next 2 or 3 days. It's like, I'm alone in this house. There's my wife or my husband, whatever the case may be. There's no presence. There's no communication. You see, God doesn't just want to be omnipresent, that he's everywhere where we are. He wants to be present with us. And that means engaged and in communion and in fellowship, that we feel his presence and we experience the benefits of the Lord's presence. And so Jehovah Shammah means you are the ever-present God present with me. But the problem is that when our earthly desires are taking you deeper into the darkness of the world so that his presence is fading, he still sees you, he hasn't left, but the engagement with his presence has definitely been broken and it's fading. Stop, repent, refocus your desire on Jesus, who is the presence of God in your life, and express your desire to him, praying, Lord Jesus, I desire your name above all else. Please deliver me from the tentacles of the world that are wrapped around my heart. I choose your name above all, so break these chains and release my heart and mind to love you, because that's really where we get to. When we have allowed our desires for the world to pull us away from God's presence, we know we want to be back in the presence of God, but we can't get ourselves there because our heart and mind is wrapped with these tentacles. Lord, break these chains and bring me back into the place where I'm aware of your love because I choose you, not the world. So bring me back, Lord, into your presence. And finally, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. Glory to God. But when your desires have become so strong that you've gotten into the habit of making your own plans, charting your own course, and just assuming that God's going to bless you because you're a Christian, but there's that growing, nagging insecurity growing inside of you. Is God really leading me? And that insecurity is there. That's a cry because something's not right. You get into the habit of just doing things because you think whatever I think of is blessed because God loves me. Whatever plans I make, that's okay. God would not want me to have this. But everything we do and everything we reach for should come from reaching for God, reaching for Him. He knows you need a vacation. He knows you could use a new car. He doesn't mind blessing you, with some weight loss or whatever it is on your list that you're looking for. But by chasing those desires, you're not going to get there. But when you chase Him, He gives you those things and adds no sorrow to it. So stop, refocus your desire on Jesus, who is your shepherd. Say, Lord, I need a shepherd. I need someone to lead me. Some people are too proud. I don't need a shepherd. I'm a full-grown whatever. Lord Jesus, my desires have made me headstrong but heart weak. And I don't want to steer my life into anything without your leading. So I desire your name, for you are my shepherd. And I need a leader for my soul, and you're the only one for me, Jesus. See, this is how you articulate your desire for the name. I close with the 23rd Psalm. We had the last one I'd shared, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. We all know the 23rd Psalm. But do you know that the 23rd Psalm is really about focusing your desire in His name and how that God has put all these things in His name to meet, to give you new desires that will elevate your life? The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. He restores my soul. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. Hallelujah. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Jehovah Tsidkenu, in the name of Jesus, is my righteousness. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jehovah Makedesh, my sanctification. Your rod and your staff comfort me. The Lord is my peace. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord is my banner over me. Hallelujah. You anoint my head with oil. The Lord is my sanctifier once again. My cup runneth over. Once again, the Lord is my provider. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is my presence with God. As we prepare our hearts to respond this morning in prayer, Jesus' name is far more than access to what you need. Jesus is what you need. And He has given you everything in that name. And so if you'll close your Bible, stand with me this morning.